Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, August 2nd, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
What are you waiting for? Take off.
Gosh, you're pushy. There's more of the uniquely talented David Lawrence coming your way today. He's here again as part of both the Erotic Mind and the Sex Education podcast series, don't you know? And as you recall from last week, David is the master of two art forms, photography and shibari, Japanese rope bondage. This is part two of our conversation, and David continues to thrill us with his exploits.
Okay, don't bother me.
Someone needs a nap. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat that appeared here last week, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the site search function, type in podcast number 221, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. And be sure to check out David's astonishing photography, his brilliant rope work, and his workshops and mentoring program, all of which can be found on his website, shibariartphotography.com. Today's program is brought to you by drdicksexadvice.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call your attention to a standing opportunity for each of you to support and underwrite these marvelous shows.
What do you mean, don't worry? This kind of stuff ain't deductible, you know.
I do know that, actually. But you know, I was listening to my local national public radio station the other day, and they were gearing up for one of their pledge drives. And I thought to myself, hey, I ought to do that. I'm exceptionally proud of the quality shows I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 3 years, I've presented a variety of exceptionally informative, enriching, and entertaining programming, interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this kind of diverse sex-positive information? And it always comes to you absolutely free. Okay, so right about now you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to my site, drdicksexadvice.com, and look for the donate button. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But for those folks donating $50 or more, I'm offering some swell thank you gifts, an excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, as well as some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening information. Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, David Lawrence, and thank you so much for another week of your erotic mind and your sex education. I'm so delighted that we could have more time because I got all wound up and bound up with our conversation last week.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you, the week goes by fast.
Doesn't it? Holy cow. It does. I barely had time to touch myself impurely while looking at your pictures. So,
well, I mean, I look at it this way. A week without at least 7 orgasms is a week wasted.
Isn't that true?
So true. We're 12 orgasms later and talk again. I love it.
And I'm nearly exhausted.
I'll tell you, yeah, it's a workout.
So let's pick up right away where we left off last week. We were talking about your newest work that you're working on now, Men Bound. But I want to talk, first of all, about your first book, which is called Bound, and that was published in 2005, yes?
Yes, in June 2005 it was released, published by Jürgen Bowett from Secret Magazine. The book, at least to my knowledge, is sold out. He may have like one or two copies left, if that. I've been out of copies since early 08.
Wow.
You know, the copies that I had available.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people ask if would I go back and do a second printing of it. I don't know at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get Rebound published
right.
first.
Right.
You know, so once I get that completed, you know, then I'll think about maybe even doing like after the men's book project is done, maybe doing a 3-volume set.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
And then redesign all the books to match
right.
so they could be sold as a set.
Right. So you alluded to this at the conclusion of last week's show, that your second book is called Rebound.
Yes.
And it's a continuation. Does that build on your first work, your first book?
Well, it's different in that it's location work as opposed to studio.
Right. That's, you mentioned that.
Yeah, you know, when I first started this journey, I thought I would do 3 series
mm-hmm.
with women. One is the studio shots that are against, called low key, which is against a dark backdrop.
Right. Uh-huh.
High key imagery, which would be against a white backdrop, and then location shoots.
Uh-huh.
So Rebound is the location
mm-hmm.
phase of that whole series.
Mm-hmm.
But I've since actually dropped the high key from my desires.
Right.
Because I've come to at least feel for myself that this style work doesn't work well against a high key backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think bright lights, there's no drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I think rope is all about the drama.
That's so true.
You know, so, you know, that dramatic energy would be lost against a white backdrop. So I decided not to shoot that. But one of the things I wanted to say, which actually may help a lot of other artists out there, possibly, when I was looking at things to do with this book to get it published, and I've had
this
several,
is Rebound, yes?
Yes, Rebound.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, people were offering me different things to publish this book, but none of them, you wouldn't make money. I mean, this is really an area, it's a very small market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your average run for a book is around 1,000 to 2,000
mm-hmm.
copies.
Mm-hmm.
So your income opportunities are very limited
mm-hmm.
if you give your work away to a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing if you go to these online publishing.
Oh, so true.
You know, companies, you know, they'll take 75-80% of the cost of your book. So, again, you're not really making much money.
Mm-hmm.
So what I chose to do was find a place where I can have the book printed myself
mm-hmm.
and then do the distribution.
Wow.
So that then leaves me with the responsibility to become the finance person,
right?
Thus having to raise the funds myself. So that's
mm-hmm.
where free print sale comes into place and looking for patrons of the arts
right.
to help me get this book printed. But then I get to make money on something. And then all the models will make money on something. Because
mm-hmm.
the way I work, I don't actually pay models.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a big secret. You can't tell any of the models in Rebound.
Okay.
Okay, so
just
don't tell
them.
It's just between us.
Now, all right.
Once this book does get printed and I start to bring money in, they will all receive a check in the mail.
Holy cow.
It'll be a surprise. You know,
yeah.
Be like, holy shit, found money. What happened? But it's my way of saying thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 'cause every person I work with gives their time and expertise as a subject, you know, just for the creation of art.
Right.
And I appreciate that.
And that whole notion of a patron, I mean, that goes, you know, goes way, 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 way back, you know, in the whole notion of creating art, is that there
absolutely.
Were always patrons who, you know, supported, you know, the artist.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the actually the economic times right now, I mean, photographically, I'm most likely retiring from active professional photography.
Uh-huh.
There's no money in it.
Right.
You know, so I'm looking for the next phase of what I'm going to be doing.
Right.
You know, because right now there's just, it's such a tough world photographically right now for so many people.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not in the city. I'm in the Philly area, and the Philly area is not a major mecca for photography per
se. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless I move to L.A. or New York again, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Do you shoot digitally, or is this on film, generally speaking?
The first two shoots on Rebound were film still.
No
but
kidding.
Towards the middle of 05, I did transition to digital,
mm-hmm.
So everything is digital. One of my favorite photographers is Ansel Adams. And one of the things that most people don't know about Ansel Adams is that all his imagery is manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know that. Most people just think, well, because it was film and it was a big view camera, you know, that what he shot is what you see.
Interesting.
And that's really actually not true.
Oh.
You know, he manipulated everything, all the values from, you know, in his imagery is all manipulated in the darkroom. And he, you know, I saw an interview of him recently, and you know, he talked about the electronic age coming forward and how it's going to bring this whole new dimension. And it has. I mean, what I love about the digital world is that I get to control how my imagery looks.
Right.
I don't manipulate things to make my photographs look different. I have them look better. And the idea is if you have a quality image to begin with or an image file to begin with, you can then make it exceptional.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's my goal always, is to start with something that's already fabulous and make it into something that...
I love the way you use fabulous. Are you sure you're not gay? Because that's my favorite word, fabulous.
No, I'm definitely not gay, but maybe I have a feminine side to me. I don't know.
Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. So this, let me quickly ask you something about your City Lights series, because I think that is absolutely fascinating. It's something different than, you know, the Bondage series. It's about public nudity, is it not?
Pretty much, yes. It started out actually a lot more innocent in a sense than it is now. And I'm going to actually go back to some of that imagery as well. The first thought of this project was having women around cities with, like, accidental exposure. You know, like, you know, so they'll be dressed, you know, there's, like, you know, a woman crossing the street and her skirt is up and her butt is showing, and she's wearing these beautiful fishnets. That was the first image I ever took. For this series, and a good friend of mine, LC from Misfit Studios, said to me after he saw that image, that's a series. You should do a book of imagery like that. And I was like, okay.
you need a lot of encouragement, huh?
Yeah,
to be a pervert.
Okay.
I love it.
I'll do that. I mean, so I started this back in late 05, you know, early 06. And so it progressed from being like these partial nudity things to my doing my first full nude shot, which was on Wall Street in front of George Washington at Federal Hall. And it was so funny during that shoot, Homeland Security is coming up to me and, you know, I'm doing this like regular City Lights things with some partial nudity and not fully nude. And they're asking me, what are you doing? I mean, because this is, you know, obviously after 9/11 and the security is intense on Wall Street. I mean, they have cameras everywhere filming you. So here I am, you know, with myself, Dove from New York, another rigger and photographer who's wonderful, was there with me, a couple girls, and we're just shooting on the steps of Federal Hall with Wall Street in the backdrop. And, you know, I tell them what we're doing. We're playing around. We're practicing new things. And... because I never get permits. I don't believe in having to ask permission to create art. So, you know, he comes back after a while and says, you know, this cop around the corner doesn't believe what you're doing. So I said, well, let me go talk to him. So I go and talk to this NYPD guy, tell him what I'm doing. And then I said, you know, there's a shot I'd love to do, but I'm afraid you'll arrest us. I want to do this full nude in front of George Washington. Yeah, will you arrest me or the model if we do that? So he looks at me and says, no, so long as you do it very quickly.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, cool. So I did this shot. You know, I took three exposures. I took maybe 25 seconds, and I was nervous, actually. There were like 30 or 40 tourists, you know, snapping away. It's not the perfect image, but it's the first full public nude shot I did in New York. And I love the image, you know, and, you know, it's one of a kind. I don't know of any other shot like it in the world. And then since that point, I've done bodyscapes where I, you know, have, you know, shots over a woman's body, you know, with a city in the background. And then, you know, the imagery in D.C., which I shot on my birthday, I was on the Capitol complex and shot the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, with full nudes. I mean, you know, we're not more than, you know, what, maybe, what, 300 yards from the Capitol? I mean, right there. That was
stunning.
Breathtaking. It was so cool.
Talk about adrenaline rush. for everyone concerned.
We were there for about 40 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, so we're not even talking, you know, we did this fast. I mean, we were there 40 minutes doing the setups for these. And, you know, I work with a particular style, very old school techniques, because mm-hmm. my long exposure work, you know, my fastest exposure in City Lights, I think, is like 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And most of my imagery is up in the 20 to 30 second range
wow.
with people. Yeah. And most photographers have no concept of how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's what sets my nighttime photography work apart from what anyone else is doing
mm-hmm.
In the world with this type of imagery. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking really forward to, you know, getting this out there even more. I'm thinking it'll take another year at least to accomplish enough versatility of this project to do a book.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be a very interesting book because it does cross over to mainstream,
right.
Very much so. And so,
and Main Street too.
And Main Street, yes, it does. It absolutely
it's
does.
It's wonderful. There's nothing more compelling in my mind than like public nudity. It's just, it's absolutely stunning. It's forbidden, and yet it's so natural at the same time.
Well,
I mean,
that's what the whole shot about American freedom with the Capitol in
yes,
the backdrop.
Right.
That's what this is all about. Yeah. Is that in this country we have First Amendment rights, and one of those, you know, artistic expression is mm-hmm. one of those rights we
right.
have as American citizens, and it's wonderful. There's no other country in the world where we have these freedoms of self-expression. But the dichotomy or the irony is that it's unlawful to do public nudity.
Yeah, which is really interesting when you stop to think about. On top of the Capitol is Columbia, and she's bearing her breast.
Right. Well, and I have Mara here in American Freedom 2.
Yeah.
And Calypso in American Freedom 1.
Exactly.
Who are doing the exact same thing.
Exactly. And yeah. So let's. I want to make sure that we have some time to talk about your mentoring programs and your photography workshops. And to introduce this, you say about yourself, sharing knowledge is the responsibility of all professionals. Whether
yes.
you are a new photographer or a seasoned professional, growth is always possible. My personal credo is that you are only as good as your last photograph. This has led me to the concept of mentoring. So how does this mentoring differ from the workshops that you do?
Okay, well, mentoring is designed for the particular person.
I see, good.
And
okay.
it's one-on-one. I will talk with the person, and actually now with Skype, it makes it easier for me to talk with people
mm-hmm.
I work with
uh-huh.
around the world, because
right.
I do, you know, talk with people in Berlin, Australia, Ireland, England, Israel. So I'm able to find out from looking at imagery that they've created, listen to what their background and knowledge is, and then I come up with a game plan.
Hmm.
That will bring them through phases of development.
Mm.
And
so this is a long-term commitment that you have with a fellow artist.
It could be several weeks.
I see.
It could be for a particular project. I've mentored people for a commercial shot that someone was doing. They asked me to consult with them
mm-hmm.
on how to create the lighting for that image.
Ah.
And so I did that. I mentored them through this one particular image.
Right, I got it.
But typically it's about growing as a photographer and expanding someone's knowledge base and skill set. So I develop something geared specifically to the individual, and I then create a series of shoots or assignments for them to do in practice and execution
right.
of different steps of, you know, increments of knowledge that they'll be adding each time.
Uh-huh.
And I review that with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to talk on the phone, through email, visually I'm looking at images. So it's not one-on-one where we're face-to-face,
right.
but it's one-on-one, you know, over the phone, through internet, and people grow. I mean, I have particular methods of teaching lighting that work extremely well. I developed, at least in my knowledge, I have not heard of it but from anyone else, but the clock method,
right.
where I, you know, use a clock as a reference to how to explain where lighting and subjects and camera positions are.
No kidding.
And so this way people can visualize that very easily.
So you can communicate that as well, you know, in a workshop as on top of a mentoring kind of situation where you are going to be interacting with a class of people.
Yes. Yeah. My classes are interesting in that, you know, I always believe again, like, you know, in the beginning of my bio, it talks about, you know, substance. Mm-hmm. You know, the substance to my background is my knowledge of light and use of light in the classical portrait world. And, you know, my study of the Renaissance period painters, you know, because all lighting is really a reflection of what the painters in the Renaissance period did with
light.
Right. And we've used lighting now as professional photographers that emulates that. And so I teach that. That's the foundation.
Yeah.
There are different styles of light, like short lighting or broad lighting, butterfly, modified butterfly, Rembrandt lighting, which is 45-degree lighting, and no one has any idea of what I'm talking about.
Right.
But like a butterfly light is a light where the shadow's under the nose,
mm-hmm.
and that's used by many fashion photographers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very fashionable way to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Broad lighting is when you shoot to the lit side of a person's face.
Mm-hmm.
Short lighting is into the shadow side of the face. So there are different reasons that a person would want to use different kinds of lighting.
Yeah.
So unless you know them and can see them and create them, you're at a loss.
Right. And it also communicates, you know, drama and, you know, other emotions, you know, the lighting. This is one thing that I learned when I was doing my video production company, Daddy-O Productions. I didn't do much videography and certainly didn't do any lighting because I didn't know a squat about it. But when I was working with people who did know this kind of stuff, the end product was fundamentally different than, you know, working just kind of haphazardly shooting.
Absolutely true. I mean, it's the difference between a snapshot and something that's created with intention.
Mm-hmm. And you can do lighting not only in studios, but you have to pay attention to that as well when you're doing outdoor shooting, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever you shoot, you have to control your environment.
Right.
And that's one of the challenges of location photography.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been location shooting for over 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's about controlling your environment.
Right.
You know, a friend of mine, Scott Church, is a wonderful location photographer as well as studio photographer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he too has a very strong foundation of knowledge when it comes to lighting and photography.
Right.
I mean, very, very solid, you know, individual.
So let's move on and let's talk about your Japanese style rope bondage workshops. You have several identified on your website. Can we talk about a couple of them?
Sure.
Good. One is getting down and dirty with your rope play.
Oh, figures you would choose that one.
I don't know. It had all my favorite words, down and dirty and
yes,
getting and rope and play.
Yes, it has nothing and everything to do about sex.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, what a lot of people do when they work with rope is they forget about why they're doing it initially.
So true.
You know, they
get
caught up in that, I'm tying rope. I have to make it look this way or make it look that way. And they lose that connection with their partner. So this is really about maintaining that strong connection, keeping your focus on why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there absolutely is a very strong sexual component
mm-hmm.
to why we tie, not only, let's say, in public, because in public, you know, when I do public scenes, you can guarantee these girls are having orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're going to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
At home, in the bedroom, in the living room, in the kitchen, wherever I happen to be, if I'm
mm-hmm.
doing some rope work, there's some sex involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing suspension work mm-hmm. where I have my slave tied where I can enjoy, you know, sexual intercourse with her. Can I say fucking on this?
Yeah, well, I hope so.
That's good.
Only once or twice.
Yes, okay. So I said fucking once as a question. So I could tie her face up, face down, sideways, and fuck her.
Right.
You know, while she's in the rope. So I don't have to go out and buy a swing.
That's right.
I made her the swing.
Right.
And it's amazing to do that. But maintaining your connection so that both partners, you know, both people, top and bottom, because mm-hmm. rope isn't necessarily about submission and dominance.
It's so true.
You know, it can be just another way to express,
right.
you know, a way to be sexual with one another. In fact, I mean, I don't know who did the study, but evidently 90% of couples in this country have tried bedroom bondage.
Right.
Of some sort. Could
yeah.
be with ties and
right,
handkerchiefs
exactly.
and that
right.
kind of thing. But can you imagine if you really had some knowledge
right.
about
so
how to do this?
Would you not say that if you're having fun when you're rigging, you're gonna be a much better rigger?
No, I don't think that's necessarily
okay.
true. I think that it's just good to have fun with what
mm-hmm.
you do. Being a good rigger isn't necessarily a result of having fun at it. If you have fun at it, you may want to do it more often
right.
and maybe learn more about it. So in that sense, you may become a better rigger because you enjoy it
mm-hmm.
and therefore want to take a workshop or classes or learn.
Right.
It's really good to learn from someone. And then you go and practice and you have
right.
fun. The more you
right.
practice, the more adept you'll become at it, the more expertise you'll bring to it. Similar to photography, that if you practice and practice and practice, you take your attention off the technical. I mean, I live and breathe lighting. I live and breathe my f-stops and shutter speeds. I don't ever shoot in anything other than manual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use automatic settings ever.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I do, but I live and breathe it. I don't
mm-hmm.
have to think about it. So similar to rope, at this point, I don't have to think about what I'm going to do with rope. I can go with the flow of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so by going with the flow, I could even be blindfolded and
right.
still be able to tie
right.
and tie beautifully.
Yeah.
So my connection with the person, my attention to the person I'm tying is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great.
What is freestyling as opposed
okay.
to
okay,
whatever
well,
the obverse is?
Well, the obverse, I guess, would be structure.
I got it.
So let's say when it comes to a traditional breast harness,
mm-hmm.
You have a series of wraps that go above the breast, below the breast. You could have something that goes between them for
right.
either decoration over the shoulders, around,
mm-hmm.
These are things that they're very structured tie.
Mm-hmm.
Freestyling is where you kind of just let the rope go and follow the form of the body without a definitive structure to it. So it's asymmetrical most of the time. I actually combine structure with freestyling. And what I teach is how to maintain the integrity of a tie when freestyling.
Mm-hmm.
Many times when people do freestyling ties, their ropes are loose. They don't know how to keep them taut
right.
around the body.
Right.
So I teach how to do that.
Interesting.
And every time it comes out different. There are very few times I can do the same tie more than once because everybody's different.
Yeah.
How the rope adheres to the body is different.
Right.
And, how I follow from one
right.
moment to the next, could be totally, different than the one I did before.
Do you have a preference for type of rope?
Yes, I do. Probably by November of 2003, I transitioned to hemp.
Uh-huh.
Hemp has been my rope of choice for, 7 years.
Wow. I've heard that from the same thing from, bunches of other folks that I've interviewed.
Yeah, it holds to itself, it bites so that when you, let's say, twist hemp around hemp,
mm-hmm.
because of the fiber,
mm-hmm.
fibrous nature
mm-hmm.
of that rope, it binds, it locks,
mm-hmm.
sort of, under tension. And depending upon how coarse it is, I like to keep my rope coarser. I don't like smooth, soft rope. I like
mm-hmm.
it to have a bite to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that biting rope on the body, soft sensual skin.
Yes.
And then coarse rope, awesome. But then, with the men's project, you have coarse, tough, male skin
yeah.
against coarse, tough rope. Wow, contrast.
Yes.
That's like, wow, very
yeah.
powerful.
Yeah.
But then there's also jute. I've recently started using jute as well. Jute is like half the weight of hemp. It's very,
mm-hmm.
very light. And it's amazing to work with because it's like tying with air in your fingers.
Ha, huh, interesting.
Yeah, it's very, very light. If you tie a lot, you actually will get some calluses developed.
Hmm.
Always, one of the biggest things for riggers out there, at least I think, keep your fingernails short.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to get your fingernails caught in rope. And also put some hand cream on your fingers to keep your cuticles moisturize. Otherwise, they can, again, with a lot of time, you could rip your cuticles.
Right.
So little tricks.
Good. In the little time that we have left, can I ask you, who are your inspirations and your sexual heroes, if you have any?
My inspirations in the rope world?
Either. I won't script that for you.
Respond how you'd like. Well, as far as people, the first person I mentioned in our first interview was Midori.
Right.
And everyone knows who Midori is from around the world. She's an amazing, dynamic person and really wonderful. She's so nice. And she not only teaches rope, but she has a whole area of expertise in the sexual world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever interviewed her, but she'd be
someone... We came dangerously close once.
Well, she's someone who your audience would probably love.
Absolutely.
You know, there, in the very beginning of my career, I met Lo Kai.
Mm-hmm.
Lo Kai originally was in Florida, then he moved to San Francisco where he ran Hogtied for a little over a year. Wonderful person. Knowledgeable, shares his knowledge. He's a wonderful photographer as well, a dynamic individual. Dove in New York is someone who I met early on, and he's actually the one person who taught me something in the very beginning. He taught me the alpine butterfly knot. I tie it differently than how he originally showed me how to do it. But he, again, in the very beginning, he showed me something, and I did my first suspension with him watching.
No kidding.
So it was very, very nice. And, inside of a year from that point, I was doing, presenting. So it was nice. Lee Harrington, when I first met Lee was Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
And Bridget has now become Lee, a dynamic individual, an amazing person. And if you talk about someone who is focused about sexual education, I think Lee is light years ahead of every other person in that realm.
Hmm.
I mean, his mindset actually has crossed over both female and male. So the perspectives are amazing. So if no one has ever heard of Lee, you should look up Lee Harrington.
Thank you.
An amazing individual. Other people. Sexy Sadist, Susie, who is a pro-dom in the New York area, now in Connecticut. An amazing dynamic rigger and person. There is Mark from DB8 House, Emil. And Mark is in Australia. Zamil is in Germany. He studied with Osada Steve in Japan and shares knowledge. And, actually, I was just interviewed for his publication, which came out this month in Germany. Who else? I mean, there are so many more people. I'm probably forgetting people, and they're going to say, why did you mention my name? So the list goes on.
Yes.
And, I have photographic people too that I've looked at over the years,
mm-hmm.
Whose work has inspired me, people like Robert Farber or David Hamilton, Helmut Newton, Robert Mapplethorpe, Scavullo, in the fashion world, Henri Besson, also is someone who I just, Besson's work is amazing. Where my work and his work are similar is that I capture moments. I have a very keen sense of when the moment will be, and that's what he was known for in his work. It's a journey. I mean, the whole thing, life is a journey, and to fulfill your journey and be fulfilled and satisfied with your journey is so important in life. You have to enjoy it.
So true. And with that, we must conclude, and I want to thank you for sharing so much of your journey with us and inspiring us and helping us move in directions that perhaps we were too timid to move before. So thank you so much for your time. We will be visiting you on your website, and hopefully I'm going to encourage our audience to say hello, drop you a little note, and thank you so much for all of your time and your work.
Rich, it's a pleasure, and thank you for having me and sharing myself with your audience, and I will look forward to our next encounter.
Thanks, David.
Okay, thank you.
Be well.
Hey, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
What an informative show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more sex advice with an edge.
Ain't I seen you someplace before?
Yeah, I'm your host, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is DrDicksSexAdvice.com. You may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administration for a free site like this is very costly. If you like what you see and hear, if you enjoy DrDickSexAdvice.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. The suggested donation is between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gratefully accepted.
What's so important?
Well, sex education is important, for one thing. And this one-time donation, there is no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees, and you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to supporting this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. Look for the donate button on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. I thank you in advance for your generosity. One final thing, I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product reviews site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, herbal products, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. And look for all Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next time, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.